Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, it's Wednesday, and it's great to have you with us here at Derek Prince Legacy Radio. Thanks for spending some of your day with us. We are in the middle of the first week of a marvelous series on the Holy Spirit in you. And today, Derek's going to be talking to us about what happened at Pentecost. You know, many Christians have a great deal of confusion about the whole issue of when the church began, what's the difference between when Jesus breathed on the disciples, and then later, at the day of Pentecost in the upper room, the disciples had the Holy Spirit poured out on them. There's a lot of confusion about that, and Derek Prince, uniquely gifted as a teacher, is going to help us understand what the deal is. You know, one of the things I hope that we're able to grasp in this series is that Derek's scholarship and his ability to work as a scholar and as a researcher and as a brilliant Cambridge-trained mind is not at all in tension with Derek Prince, the Pentecostal preacher, Derek Prince, the man of the Holy Spirit. The two work together. And what is so often the bias is people believe that if you are given to the Holy Spirit, you're actually just given to emotion. It's not really the Holy Spirit, and it really is an excuse for not having to have serious thoughts in your head. Well, Derek is modeling for us that the two go together, that there can be a relationship and an empowering by the Holy Spirit that is at the same time wonderfully facilitating of and facilitated by knowledge, theology, and good scholarship. I love the two together, and I think armed with that, we can change the world. Let's listen now as Derek teaches us about what happened at Pentecost.
In my talk yesterday, I spoke about the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus. I established three main points. First, John the Baptist introduced Jesus as the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. That was his distinctive introduction to Israel. Second, the Holy Spirit was the source of power for the whole ministry and teaching of Jesus. He depended totally on the Holy Spirit. Third, Jesus promised his disciples that when he himself went back to heaven, he would send the Holy Spirit in his place as his personal representative to be their paraclete, the one called in alongside to help them. Other translations are counselor, comforter, or helper. Today I'm going to show you the outworking of this promise that Jesus made. In particular, I'm going to explain the wonderful new thing that happened when the Holy Spirit descended on the day of Pentecost. As with many of the promises of the Bible, this promise of the Holy Spirit was not fulfilled in one single event, but rather it had an ongoing outworking, phase by phase. The first phase took place on what we now call Easter Sunday, the Resurrection Sunday. This is what we read about this event in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. He demonstrated he was the same one they'd seen crucified. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Notice that last important statement. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." We need to bear in mind that the Greek word for spirit, pneuma, also means breath or wind. So that his action of breathing on them was related to the words he spoke. He breathed onto them and said, "Receive holy breath, Holy Spirit, the breath of God." What happened at that dramatic moment? I believe it was one of the most critical and decisive phases in the whole outworking of God's purpose of redemption. And I would answer the question, what happened, with two statements. First of all, at that moment, those first disciples entered into what I would call New Testament salvation. You see, in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, later on, Paul laid down the basic requirement for salvation. He said, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now that was the first moment at which the disciples really believed that God had raised Jesus from the dead. Up to that moment, they could not enter into salvation as it's presented in the New Testament. At that moment, they confessed Jesus as their Lord, and they believed that God had raised him from the dead. They were saved with New Testament salvation. The other thing I would say is that at that time, they were regenerated, born again. They became a new creation. They passed out of the old creation into the new creation through the in-breathed breath of God. To understand this, we need to look back for a moment at the description of the original creation of man in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, which says this, "The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being or a living soul." So the original creation, the first creation of man, took place as God breathed the spirit of life, the breath of life, the Holy Spirit, into that figure of clay that was there on the ground. And the in-breathed breath of God, the Holy Spirit, transformed that figure of clay into a living soul. But now we're talking about a new creation. For Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation." And you see there's a direct parallel between the first creation and the new creation. In the new creation, Jesus, the resurrected Lord and Savior, having conquered sin and death and hell and Satan, appeared to his disciples and breathed into them the breath of resurrection life, a new kind of life, a life that had triumphed over all the forces of evil, that had triumphed over death and triumphed over sin. And through that in-breathed breath of God received from the lips of Jesus, they became a new creation. They were regenerated. So through that experience, the disciples entered into New Testament salvation, and they passed out of the old order into the new creation in Christ through the in-breathed breath of God, the resurrection breath of life received from the lips of Jesus. However, it is important to understand that even after this Easter Sunday experience, the promise of the Holy Spirit was renewed even up to about 40 days later. In other words, the total fulfillment had not yet come. In Luke 24:49, Jesus says to them after the resurrection, "Behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city," that's Jerusalem, "until you are clothed with power from on high." And even more explicitly, in Acts 1, verse 5, probably just a short while before his ascension into heaven, 40 days or nearly 40 days after the resurrection Sunday appearance, he said to them, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So the resurrection Sunday was not the total fulfillment. Almost all theologians and commentators on Scripture agree that the final and the complete fulfillment took place on the day of Pentecost.
Don't you love those words from Luke 24 and verse 49? Jesus said, "Stay in the city." This is what he was saying to his disciples. "Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Thank God that Jesus gives us power that literally is like a garment. It envelops us like clothing and empowers us to be witnesses to people. You know, when I look at the world today, I want to win my generation, but I got to tell you, there's some dark stuff out there. Thank God that we're given the Holy Spirit so that we can face that dark stuff and win, as we have the power and the wisdom and the insight of the Holy Spirit to defeat the enemies of the faith in our time. So much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Can the power of God actually flow through a person's hands? Though the most foundational of Christian doctrines, very little is taught in many churches today about the laying on of hands. And yet you can find this powerful part of the Christian life throughout the Bible. Transmitting God's power in this way is an essential element for equipping God's people. And now you can more fully understand this in your own spiritual journey. In his powerful booklet, Transmitting God's Power, Derek Prince reveals how God designed us to transmit, commission, and give authority to other believers through the laying on of hands. To get your free copy of Transmitting God's Power, call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Let God's power flow through you. get your free copy of Transmitting God's Power. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or request your free copy when you visit us online at DerekPrince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. It's wonderful to have you here. We are learning today and all this week about the Holy Spirit. And today, Derek has been talking to us about what happened at Pentecost. What was that unique thing that was done in the upper room in Jerusalem not too many weeks after Jesus was raised from the dead? And by the way, how does it differ from when Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit into his disciples? These are all very important questions. And what's really important for us, what's really exciting is that all of this is available to us today. We're not just reading about past history. We're not just reading about things that happened long ago. We're reading about experiences that the fathers of our faith had that we too can have today. Let's listen as Derek guides us in these all-important truths.
However, it is important to understand that even after this Easter Sunday experience, the promise of the Holy Spirit was renewed even up to about 40 days later. In other words, the total fulfillment had not yet come. In Luke 24:49, Jesus says to them after the resurrection, "Behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city," that's Jerusalem, "until you are clothed with power from on high." And even more explicitly, in Acts 1, verse 5, probably just a short while before his ascension into heaven, 40 days or nearly 40 days after the Resurrection Sunday appearance, he said to them, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So the Resurrection Sunday was not the total fulfillment. Almost all theologians and commentators on Scripture agree that the final and the complete fulfillment took place on the day of Pentecost. And here it is described in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." Now this is the actual manifestation, the actual fulfillment of the promise. The Holy Spirit descended from heaven in person in the form of a mighty wind and filled each one of them individually and gave them a new and supernatural utterance in a language they'd never learned. But at the end of this second chapter of Acts, Peter gives what we would call the theological explanation of what had taken place. And he says this concerning Jesus: "God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear." Notice first again all three persons of the Godhead in that verse. Jesus, the Son, receives from the Father the Holy Spirit and pours out the Holy Spirit upon the waiting disciples in the upper room in Jerusalem. And so at that point, the final fulfillment of the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit took place. The Holy Spirit himself was released from heaven by the Father and the Son together and descended upon the waiting disciples in the upper room in Jerusalem. Notice that at this point, Jesus was not merely resurrected, but he was also exalted and glorified. For in John chapter 7, the writer of the Gospel had pointed out that the promise of the Holy Spirit could not be fulfilled till Jesus had been glorified. And so we're confronted with two dramatic, wonderful Sundays. The first, Easter Sunday. And there we have the resurrected Christ and the inbreathed Spirit. The second, Pentecost Sunday. The glorified Christ and the outpoured Spirit. Let me just say that again so that you can see the two phases and relate them in your mind. Easter Sunday, the resurrected Christ, the inbreathed Spirit. Pentecost Sunday, the glorified Christ, the outpoured Spirit. And remember, each are patterns for all believers, even today. In closing my talk today, I want to sum up briefly the permanent significance of the events that we've just been looking at, the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. As I understand it, The Holy Spirit came down to earth as a person. He is now the resident personal representative of the Godhead on earth. It seems to be a kind of law that I cannot explain, that only one person of the Godhead can be resident on earth at any one given time. For some years, it was Jesus, the Son. But when Jesus left and went back to heaven, he said, another person will come in my place, and he'll stay with you forever, not just for a few brief years. That was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Jesus, the Son, as a person, had returned to the Father in heaven. Then from the Father and the Son together, the Holy Spirit came down to take the place of Jesus. Where does the Holy Spirit now live? I'll give you two answers. First of all, he lives in the church, the corporate body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" That's the corporate temple of the Holy Spirit, God's people on earth, the church of Jesus Christ. But in 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul says something even more dramatic. He reveals that not only is the corporate body of Christ the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, but that it's God's purpose that the body of each believer be also the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" Do you not know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? To me, that's one of the most breathtaking statements found anywhere in the Bible, that my physical body, your physical body, if we are believers in Jesus Christ, is to be the dwelling place of God Himself, the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit indwells our physical bodies. That's His temple. That's where He lives.
You know, I, like many of you, am very excited about the coming of Jesus, about the return of Jesus to earth. I believe I want to be purified by the hope of His appearing. I can't wait for Jesus to come back, whether it happens in my generation or not. But I do sometimes wonder if the preoccupation of our generation of Christians with the second coming of Jesus, all the date setting and all the end time orientation, is not a partial result of the fact that we do not know who is already among us, that we do not have respect for the fact that the Holy Spirit, who is Jesus in spirit form, is right here with us. He is now the representative of the Godhead on earth, and that is a transforming truth. So much more to come, including my friend David Holland joining me here in the studio as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Every believer has been given at least one supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you know which one you have and how to operate in it? In his new book, Gifts of the Spirit, Derek Prince reveals how we can use the spiritual gifts within us and minister to others who desperately need to see a true manifestation of God's presence. Through its pages, you'll discover how to discern spiritual counterfeits and how to bring the marvelous power of the Holy Spirit into and through your own life. God has these gifts for you. All you have to do is to receive them. To order your copy or to get one for someone you love, call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The cost is only $12.95, and if you order now, we'll make sure you receive it in time for Christmas. Understand and receive God's spiritual power in your life. Order Derek's book, Gifts of the Spirit, now. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with us today as we learn these marvelous truths on the Holy Spirit. Joining me in the studio today is David Holland, one of the producers of our show, and also a pastor, a scholar, a man who is well able to help us apply these truths. And David, it's always wonderful to have you here.
Oh, thank you, Stephen. Bless you on your voice. I know you're struggling with the voice just a little bit today, and I know you're a man who's known as a writer, but you do an awful lot of speaking, and
oh,
you're the calling not only for Derek Prince Ministries, but for other ministries. Ministries as well. And so bless you as you kind of struggle there just a little bit today.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't mean to sound like Rod Stewart here on the air, but I guess I am. Now, I want you to tell me if you agree with something that I said earlier.
Okay.
I can't wait for Jesus to come back. I'm looking forward to the consummation of the ages and being caught up with him and of course, in the meantime, being purified by the hope of his appearing. But we all certainly know that this hyper preoccupation with the end times and the second coming of Jesus is a distraction from the business we ought to be about in the meantime.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, it's just a sort of a homespun theory I'm working on, that maybe because we don't recognize that a member of the Godhead is here on earth reigning and ruling and trying to empower his people to do his will on earth, that we get all excited about Jesus returning bodily, and it's because we don't recognize that Jesus is already here in spirit form. Rebuke me if I'm wrong, or tell me how you see it.
No, I don't disagree with that at all. And I know personally I've been guilty many times and continue to be guilty from time to time of undervaluing or devaluing or being numb to the astonishing, amazing, incredible fact that a member of the Godhead is not only dwelling among us as men on earth, but dwelling within us, that we are vessels of a very member of the Godhead. When God poured out the Holy Spirit upon the earth on the day of Pentecost, it was one of the most spiritually significant moments in the history of mankind.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, there was the creation and then the fall, then there was Jesus' death and resurrection, but shortly thereafter, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit is a massively significant thing. And as you look through the New Testament, we see Paul, for example, over and over again, encouraging us, reminding us to be mindful of the fact that we are vessels of the Holy Spirit, and what an honor that is, and what a wonder that is, what a privilege it is. It's something that should make us have a holy, reverential fear about the way we conduct ourselves, because we're carrying, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so to speak. But it also should give us boldness. It should give us a sense of confidence, cultural confidence, spiritual confidence. When we walk in that awareness, and I think we are as a body generally grossly guilty of devaluing that wonder.
Absolutely. You know, the thing that I'm excited about too, in addition to the power and the victory that we can have in the Holy Spirit, is that if we look at the Old Testament, time and again, the Holy Spirit is giving skills and artistry and craftsmanship to people. And in order for us to take our generation, I think we need to have unique giftings for everything from film to computers to planes, technologies. You know, even just in my own limited way, I want to have unique ways of crafting books and great ways of building businesses and ministries. And I think the Holy Spirit is untapped potential in terms of creativity. You know, Paul said in Ephesians 3 that the Spirit that's in us is able to do beyond all we can ask or imagine. Well, now, David, you know me, and you know that I can imagine a heck of a lot.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
I can imagine, I don't know, let's be extreme. I can imagine me as a billionaire. I can imagine me as president of the United States. I can imagine me, you know, overseeing businesses that feed millions. You
sure.
know, I mean, if the Holy Spirit can do more than all that, then bring it on. And I'm excited about tapping that potential.
No question about it. The anointing is a used and abused term, but it really is extremely meaningful. When the Holy Spirit comes upon and dwells within a human, extraordinary things are possible. As a matter of fact, we have a free resource that's available to our listeners today, Stephen. I think it will really, really help them understand how the Holy Spirit can be an agent of transmitting the supernatural power to us frail human vessels. It's called Transmitting God's Power. It's a brand new booklet from Derek Prince, sourced from his materials. It's absolutely free to anyone who wants to ask for it. Just call or click and let us know you'd like to receive it. Man, we'll get it right out to you. Go online and request it at derekprince.org.
Well, David, thanks for helping me out today and just bringing this stuff home to our lives.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks, Stephen.
Listen, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Do join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
To order your copy of Derek's new book, Gifts of the Spirit, give us a call toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The cost is just $12.95. And when you order, be sure to request your free copy of Derek's powerful booklet, Transmitting God's Power. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771.
or order both resources securely online at DerekPrince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Find out more about Derek Prince online at DerekPrince.org.